praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him. Lord, I just got a thought right there. He said, you loud folks, praise Him. And you non-loud folks, just squall about Him. He said, blow the trumpet or the psaltery or the harp. Everybody ain't got to be like the preacher and run around like a wild Indian. But you ought to praise Him. Then he says, praise Him with a timbrel. Oh, this is going to mess your Baptist doctrine up. And dance. I'd love to see some of you getting a holy dance this morning. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the, watch out now, the loud cymbals. Praise Him on the high sounding cymbals. But now he says, just let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I'm not much on ball games, but I went to the son-in-law's yesterday and I noticed there's a big crowd sitting around, and even though they shouting and hollering going on, quiet ones still went to the ball game. I read my Bible, Revelation 5:11, saying, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That'll give some of you math grads something to cipher this morning. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive strength and power, riches and honor and glory and blessing. You know, if you're going to heaven, it's not going to be a shouting section and a quiet section. You ought to enjoy the house of God and praising Him and worshiping Him. I'm going to tell you, it's in order to shout a little bit. People go down the ball game and, man, they just shout and holler and rip and rope and nobody looks at them like they're crazy. But you come to church and have a good time. Somebody go to looking like, well, is this a Baptist church? You better know it's Baptist church, honey. The Baptists were shouting for anything else come along. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hey, let me tell you, I shouted over the devil's crowd way too long. Now bless the name of the Lord, and I bless Him for all of His great benefits this morning. Don't be ashamed to praise Him. And honey, if you can't blow the trumpet, then play the harp. If you can't blow the trumpet, would somebody just string the harp? Everybody ain't got to be loud, but sometimes it gets loud. And thank the Lord for it. One thing about our church, it ain't nobody taking no dose. If I see you sleeping, I will promise you this, I'll come where you are. And if I see you looking at your watch, I promise you, I'll say something to you about it. In your Bible this morning, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, so good to see you here today. This good New Year's Sunday, we appreciate the Lord giving us a new year. If you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. If you'd bear with me this morning, I've got some preaching to do. I really feel like the Lord would have us to deal with some things this morning that would give us help. Because I'm going to tell you, we needy people, aren't we? Now, if you'll help me preach, the sermon will be a lot better. You can say amen or oh me, one of them. Hebrews 11, verse number 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of His staff. Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. We've been preaching out of the book of Hebrews of chapter number 11 where the Bible says faith is. Aren't you glad that we don't have to read about what faith was or what faith used to do? I'm glad I pastor an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, conservative Baptist church that don't have to read about what God used to be or what God used to do. But faith is, because God is. And the only way you're going to please Him is by faith. We find out that Abel, he worshipped by faith. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you'll never worship till you worship by faith. Because he worshipped by the blood. A lot of people this morning, we live in the era of take the blood out of the song, out of the sermon, but it's still the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He worshipped by the blood. And then Enoch, he walked by the book. Isn't it a blessing to read about some of these heroes of our faith that they walked by the book? Young people, hey, it's a cop-out to say that I can't live for Jesus in the high school. You can live for Jesus in the high school. It's a cop-out to say that you can't live for Jesus on the job market. That's a cop-out. I've lived for Him on the job market. I know you can live for Jesus and walk by the book. Abel worshipped by the blood. Oh my, Abel. Couldn't you imagine the day he left out of there different? He worshipped by the blood. And then Enoch walked by the book. He was or was not. They looked for Him. I wonder, men you leave out of here, is anybody going to look for us? And not only was there Abel and Enoch, but then there was Noah. He worked on the boat. Said he moved by fear to the saving of his house. Well, I'm glad one day that faith came and let fear out and took me to the cross of Calvary. Hear a lot of people say, we ought not scare our children about that gospel of hellfire and brimstone. Let me tell you something, honey. The gospel has love, but it's also got a fear of hell in it too. So Noah worked on the boat, and then Abraham, the father of our faith, he watched for the blessed city. Said he looking for something different than got USA stamped on it. Said he's looking for something in the heaven. How wish some of us would go to living like that, looking for the city. But this morning, I want to deal here with Jacob. I want to say he went out broken. The Bible said that he, in his dying days, he worshipped. What a blessing to leave out of here worshiping God. Said not only was he worshiping, said he was leaning on the top of his staff. He left out of here broken. And I will tell you, a lot of us are going to leave out of this place broken. Because if it was all heaven down here, it wouldn't be heaven up there. And I want to look in this scenes of life of Jacob now in Genesis 32. Now, I'm not going to try to preach long this morning. But in Genesis 32, let's look at the life of Jacob. And let's notice here these scenes of life. And how Jacob went about in his journeys. You can remember that Jacob, he tricked Esau. He stole his birthright. He was a trickster. He was full of shenanigans. A lot like me and you. Somebody say amen. And so we find him now in Genesis 32. He's been at Laban's house and he's worked several years for his wife Leah. The Bible said she was tenderized. She was a cross-eyed girl. And said, old Laban tricked him for the years of work and gave him the wrong wife. So he stayed overtime. And he got Rachel, boy, the woman of his heart. And so now he's coming back to a place with two wives and children, and he's got caravans of blessing just everywhere he looks. He picks up now in Genesis 32. He's coming back to the homeland of where he'd been. And he said, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." He called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, to the land in the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob, saith, thus I've sojourned with Laban and stayed there till now. Now I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." Now this is what's happened. Jacob crossed the river, and he had done his brother wrong. He stole his brother's birthright, and when his brother realized what he had done, he said, "Jacob, it's the last thing I do, boy. I'm going to kill you." And Jacob, now he's running all of his days doing this. Something like the way some of you hunt and fish with them no posted signs. You look back around and see if anybody's looking at you. And boy, I've never been able to fish, Brother Adam, looking over my shoulder. Y'all don't get it. I get over here where these rednecks are. They understand that no posted sign. And so Jacob, he's looking back over his shoulder all of his days, and he's acquired wealth, and boy, God's blessed him, but there's a problem. He's got to go back and face what he messed up. And so we find him now. He gets a servant, and he sends him ahead. And he wants him to go to Esau. So he went to him in verse 6. The messengers returned to Jacob, and they had something to say. "We came to thy brother Esau," and I got bad news for you, boy. "He's coming with 400 men with him." Sound like God's been a blessing somebody else. "And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, flocks, herds, camels, into two bands." Boy, he's smart. He's using his head. He said, "I'm going to split you up in two groups." Said, "If Esau and them 400 kill one group of you, I will have one group of you left." So the Bible unfolds, and he said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob stopped just a minute where we all stopped in verse 9, and he said something. Oh God. That's what we all ought to do this morning. Say, "Oh God." We all say, "Oh God," for our nation. "Oh God, help America." Then we ought to cry, "Oh God, help our churches." Then we ought to cry, "Oh God, help our homes. Help our lives, our hearts." He took a moment to pray, and he said, "Lord, which saidest unto me, return into thy country, into thy kindred, and I'll deal well with you. I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies and of all the truth which you've showed to thy servant. Here it is, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands." I want to say, first of all, you'll notice the starts of life. The starts of life. You know what he's just said? He said, my, look how God has blessed me. And at this start of life, we find it's a place of comparison. He said, "I came here when I first started out leaning on my staff, and that's all I had. But," he said, "now I'm coming back to the same river that I come across leaning on my staff." He said, "I'm coming back a different way." He said, "Dear God, look at the comparisons of how you've blessed me. Does anybody remember starting out that little single-wide trailer and somebody could have thrown a cat through the side of the wall? Somebody say amen right there. Can anybody remember those little bitty humble beginnings that you had and them little belongings that you had? Boy, I can remember some 31 years ago, my mother sent me enough money through the mail to buy my suit to be able to go to church. Now this morning I look in my closet and I just pick out whatever I want. I get to thinking about, boy, how God has blessed me. And in these phases of life, I want to say there's always a starting place. And I wonder this morning, could I remind you that the devil will never show you what you got. He'll just point to you what you don't got this morning. He said, my, my. He said, I want to know something, Lord. He said, I came over here upon this staff. He said, with my staff, I passed over this joint. He said, all I had was a stick cut out of the woods. Didn't even have a change of clothes on my back. And I crossed this river, and now I've become two bands. Has anybody been blessed this morning? Has anybody been blessed? You say, preacher, I hadn't got a lot. Well, you got more than most. You kids, you say, well, I don't have what the other kids have. No, and you ought to shout about it. You ought to be glad you got a mom and daddy that loves Jesus this morning. He said, man, this place of starting, it's a place of happy beginnings. I said, I've been married 31 years, you know. When I started out, we didn't need no food in the pantry, honey. We was living off love. Amen. I mean, food. Who needs food? Amen. We don't need food. No, no, no. And boy, it's amazing. These happy beginnings, it was just a blessing just to be together. I won't say it's still a blessing just to be together. Just a blessing. Last night I sat down at the table with her and just looked across the table and still got goo-goo eyes. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the way it ought to be and the way it can be this morning. And we looked at, my goodness, here at the beginning of things, at this starting, it was happy beginnings. And then it was humble belongings. All he had was a staff. Boy, I can remember, I didn't have $5 for a box of gun shells to go bird hunting with, and that's the truth. I mean, it's bad when a man calls you to go bird hunting and you gotta lie because you ain't got shotgun shell money. Somebody say amen. But honey, I'm gonna tell you, I can remember what it was, and I can remember, and I wanna tell you something. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I wore the little boy's clothes down the road. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I come up in life with hand-me-downs. I'm not ashamed to tell you, had a mom and daddy didn't have much, but they had everything. Because they had the God of this Bible in their life. I'm going to tell you, oh, there is a starting place in our lives. Boy, thank God, I'm glad I wasn't born with a silver spoon. Go on, shake your head. I know what it is to work in a hay field, daylight to dark. I know what it is to milk cows, Brother Byard. I know what it is to live on a farm and barely get by. And honey, I can look around this morning and look and see what God's done for this preacher. I say, hallelujah. I crossed this thing with just a staff. But now look at what you've done for me, Lord. I mean, look what you've done for me. He said, you know, sometimes it does us good to just remember. Just remember where you were. You know, one of the biggest problems with being blessed, you'll go to forget about the blesser. The problem with gifts, you'll forget about the giver. But the Bible's got a word for us on the starts of life, a place of comparison. You see, he looked at something in verse 10. He said, I'm not even worthy of the least of all your mercies. Now, grace is giving us what we don't deserve, but mercy is withholding what we do deserve. And he looked back when he crossed this river again. He said, my Lord in heaven, I crossed it with a stick. Now look at all this stuff you've given me. And I can trace it back to one place. Mercy. Let me tell you, it's no good in you. It's no good in me. I hate to crush your little bubble because you've been listening to too many Joel Osteen sermons. Your little pearly white teeth and your little sissy looking hair. Honey, let me tell you something this morning. It's a real world out here. And the Holy Ghost has never ever propped up flesh. He kills flesh. There's none good. No, not one. You walk through this world with a big ego, honey, you're going to fall flat on your face. We need the Holy Ghost. We need this book. Starts of life. In Deuteronomy 6, in verse number 6, you'll notice here the Bible says this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. All these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when you sit down. When you walk by the way. When you lay down, when you get up. He said, in verse number 9, thou shalt write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. Wells digged which ye dig not. Vineyard and olive trees which ye planted not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, you ought to underline this, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, my prior experiences, I was blessed enough in the corporate world to see things that I could have never seen. I've always noticed this about people with blessings on the very, not every time, but more often than not, they get to thinking that they're doing something. And houses full which you filled not. You're drinking out of wells that you dug not. You're eating out of vineyards and groves that you planted not. Now you may think that you're bulletproof this morning, honey. But let me tell you something. One little phone call can rock your world. He said, beware lest you forget. I've got a sign out yonder in the study. It says, Liberty Baptist Church, a little corrugated sign we had made, stuck it up in their yard. Liberty Baptist Church. It was only about maybe 15 or 16 people in them days. I can remember in a storefront building, a little air conditioner would work overtime in a block wall to try to cool 70 or 80 people. Now look what God's done. The devil would love for you to sit around and say, look what we've done. Isn't it amazing? There's no debt owned on this total property and facility. And I want to be honest with you as an honest preacher this morning. I kept waiting for God to send somebody down here that had something. But everybody sent, they didn't have nothing. That's so God gets all the honor and all the glory. Look on the end of these pews. Ain't no name on nothing here. No name on the stained glass. Honey, to God be the glory. He's entrusted some of us with more than with others. Can you imagine, Brother Lee, when he crossed back across this river, thinking about when he went across with his stick, when he's coming back, look at the responsibility that he's got. Look at the responsibility you've got. What about them children sitting by you this morning? So many of you are involved so much in their living. Won't you get involved in their dying and get them ready to meet the Lord? Understand, you ought to love your children and educate them and give them things in life. And nothing wrong with having goals and things. Just don't let goals and things have you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Get involved in your children's dying, because they're going to die one day. Beware lest thou forget. So we see here in Jacob's life, there was the starting place. That is the starts of life, a place of comparison. Has God done anything for you? Number two, not only the starts of life, a place of comparison, but in verse 21, you'll notice there are some stops of life. It's a place of confession. And we see in Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 21, so went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. He rose up that night and took his two wives, his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. I looked up this word forward. It may surprise you what it means. It simply means this, a crossing place. They got up to a place and they stopped because they didn't have a crossing place. But now, all of a sudden, by the grace of God, He led them to a ford that they may get across. Now something happened that struck my mind. He sent over his family, and he sent them over in bands. But he stayed behind. Because the Bible says this, he arose up, verse 22, that night, took his two wives, his two women servants, his 11 sons, passed over the ford, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, or his hip socket. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I'll not let you go except thou bless me. He said to him, what's your name? He said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. I said all that to say this. Here, before the ford was the start of life, there we find comparison. But here, at the stops of life, we find a confession. You see, when you're left alone, you'll find out who you are. There are no hypocrites alone. Hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm not going to go to church because them hypocrites down there. Every church got hypocrites. And then I hear this, I'm not going down there because they've hurt my feelings. They've offended me. Anybody at Walmart ever offended you? Did you just quit shopping at Walmart? But you need some guts and some glue. Stops of life, place of confession. He said, Jacob was left alone. And he said, "What's your name? Who are you?" And you know what Jacob's saying? "I'm human." Because he had a name. You know, when I found out of some stops of life, when life seems to just stop, you'll find out you're human. And I'd be careful not to throw rocks at somebody, because soon you're going to find out you're human. My children won't. Oh, they'll be the first and in line. I cringe when I hear somebody say, "I won't do that." Matter of fact, I done found out I don't know what I'll do. Now, I'm going to try to be a sweet preacher. I'm going to try to do right. But you push me up in that corner, I don't know what I'm going to do. So, when we are alone, we find out who we are. Boy, we're human. Anybody can live for God up there in the choir singing. Well, matter of fact, I look like a pretty good preacher. I got one of the prettiest ties in my closet on this morning. Got on a nice pinstripe suit. My hair all gelled down. All two thimbles of it. But you know, it's what you do when you're by yourself that'll show you you're human. Stops of life. You're human. I look at you this morning, some of you looking out the windows, you wish to the Lord in heaven I'd hush. But something about me, the preacher in me, just makes me get meaner when you do that. I want to prove to you I'm not a sissy or something. I don't know what it is. But we find ourselves who we are when we're alone. And I tell you another thing, not only do we find out who we find out what we are. He said, "What's your name, boy?" He said, "It's Jacob." You know what that means? Supplanter. Trickster. Not what you say you are. Any of you ever hit the stops of life? I mean, it was a place there that you could get across, but he didn't go across. Why didn't he go across? He had some things he had to learn. You see, first of all, he found out he couldn't win with God because God broke him. I don't know about y'all. You ever get your hip out of socket, you're going to walk different. Some of you at them stops of life, some of us, the stops of life, you know what? We've come out not only alone, but we've come out altered. Walking different. I tell you something else I've noticed in the stops of life. I better be careful not to pass judgment. Because Jesus said, "With the judgment that you show is how you'll be judged." Oh, I bet I know what she's been doing. Oh, do you really? I bet I know all about them. Well, why don't you get up here and tell us all about you? Just spill your guts. We want to hear. You won't have to go to the beauty shop. Just go to the Baptist church.
Amen.
But see, at this stops of life, he's learning something so important that not very many people really learn. Because the same place he got broke, he got blessed. I don't like it when the breaking's going on. But I know before God blesses anything, He breaks it. You know why this church is so blessed? Because it's been broke. Broke people set every place. Broke children, broke marriages. Broke husbands, broke wives. But you see, when you're broke, you can be blessed. Because the very place that God broke him, He blessed him. I couldn't imagine my last breaking how blessed I could be. Have you ever had something broke? It hurts. Some of you this morning, you're living in broken homes. Can I tell you, if you get across this place God's got fixed for you, it can turn into a blessing. Where's Olivia this morning? Where's she? She asleep? Where's she at? Come here, baby. I love you so, so much. Anybody see her come up a while ago and give a mission envelope with Mila? I'm not saying this for any kind of embarrassment. Just telling you the truth, how God does things. Years ago, I come in here on a stage and I told a church that I love, something bad had happened at our house. We were broken. I'm fixing to run. But she wasn't here yet. God, how blessed am I? This little pain come out of brokenness. I could have never had this blessing if something first wouldn't broke. I want to thank God for a son-in-law this morning that'll bring my grandbaby to church. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know what the devil told me? You failed. You failed. Everybody in that church now is talking about you. Some probably were. But look now. Ain't you glad He's a God of second chances? At the stops of life, it's a place of confession. Lord, I'm human. And I'm really a wretch. Lord, I'm scared of myself. Lord, I don't even trust me. Much less you. But I trust Him. Jacob leaned on the top of his staff. Miss Julie, I want you to sing the invitation this morning for me if you would. Brother Tim, if you'd get that set. You see, verse 29, Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is that thou to me?" And he blessed him there. Isn't that amazing? The place where God has chosen to break you, He's blessed you? Could I ask you this? If we picked out the breaking, do you think we would have that big of a blessing? A lot of times I say, God, you can have this now, but don't mess with it. Lord, I can understand this, but I can't understand this. Not only a place of starting and a place of stopping. He found out where he stopped. It was a place of confession. He said, Lord, I'm Jacob. Now he's got an option. He can get across or he can stay where he is. And that brings me to the third and the final point this morning. Not only the start of life, there's comparisons. The stop of life, there's confession. But there's a stepping ahead in life and there's consecration. Look what the Bible said, verse 31. And as he passed over, the sun rose up on him and he halted upon his thigh. He's walking different now. Well, Jesse Ventura, I'll never forget what he said one time, the pro wrestler made governor. He got my attention because he don't like Christians. He said, Christians are weak. I got to thinking, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, wait a minute, kid. He said, Christians use Jesus for a crutch. While using for a staff. Because I lean on him. You better quit leaning on yourself. Better quit leaning on that money you got in the bank. I sat with a man one time in Alabama. He looked out across the back porch. Probably worth $600-800 million. That's what he told me. He said, Ken, I'm miserable. Do you see what the Bible said? As he passed over. You know how you're going to get over it. You know how you're going to get over what stopped you. A leaving behind. Wallow in it, you'll die. By faith, move on. So looking above, said, what is he? As he went to going over, the sun shone on him. Not only a leaving and a looking, but there was a leaning. Said he halted on his thigh. Boy, I've been broken. But I sure have been blessed. I remember when I could just write a check and fix things. But not now. But I got something money can't buy. I don't want to bore you with no more preaching. How would you sing? What you need this morning?